Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre.
Right, anything goes unless you say a bad joke about my wife, and then we might have to have some words or something. You are listening live to Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of a much less detailed podcast. We are here with you live on a Monday night, March 28th, 2022. I'm Dre, he's Jay. This is our second show in three nights, and boy, we had some events happen last night concerning our first show, the Oscars preview show. Yep. We'll get around to all of that. This is our WrestleMania preview show, which has a lot to do with the Oscars last night, because that felt like a WrestleMania preview last night.
Yeah. No, it was, I was more like Jerry Springer. You know, I was waiting for the people. Jerry.
Yeah. Didn't have any chairs flying. That's the only thing missing. Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was absolutely insane. You know, I couldn't resist. I had to. That's the obvious video that everyone was watching. As the Twitter exploded, it really did. Everything.
Yeah.
Social media, everybody was all over it. So I had to snatch the sound. I couldn't help it. If anybody ever says anything about my beloved, I've got the proper response already queued up and ready to go.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
That's for anybody who has anything to say about my wife, even though nobody knows my wife except for Jay. No one listening to this show.
Well, and I know better now.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, if I'll go Juwan Howard on your ass, I will smack your ass down with an open-handed slap.
Man, buddy of mine sends me a text. What's that on Chris Rock's face? Fresh Prince.
Oh, I like that. Rich fingerprints, yeah.
Yeah.
So we got all the jokes for that, of course, but we're going to put that aside because we have to get to our actual WrestleMania preview, not the Oscars WrestleMania. WrestleMania 38 coming up in Dallas, another two-night event this weekend. And we are once again very happy to be joined by Jerry, the wrestling expert, to help us break down this upcoming WrestleMania event. Jerry, I was very snarky about the open, of course, with everything that happened last night. I was also snarky when I was looking at this card and I came up with the title for this show, Stupendously Old. They've been hyping this thing and calling it stupendous and the greatest WrestleMania main event in history. And all I can think of, all I can look at is just everyone is so old. The entire, oh my God. Everyone on this roster, except for the few kids that they're trying to push, everyone else is, you know, 35 and older. Everyone, even the young mystery kid that they're bringing back, the worst kept secret in the world, the returning Cody Rhodes on Sunday, and even he's 36 or 35, something like that. I know it's a common theme when we have our WrestleMania previews, but they just don't still seem to be able to make big stars, new stars. This Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar again for the main event. How do you have the temerity to call this the biggest WrestleMania main event in history when you just had the damn match 4 years ago?
Yeah, this is a little on the overrated side this year, and not that it wasn't in the past couple, but this one is they just haven't really built stars. They've buried them a lot. Now there's more choices than ever where to go. And, you know, a lot of talent has left them at critical points when they could have gotten to that next level.
Yeah. They've absolutely alienated a lot. They've let a lot of guys go, all these budget cuts that seem to always come up at certain times that, that doesn't really make much sense because they print money, you know? There's absolutely more money flowing into WWE than ever before with all the network contracts, with all the money that they saved the last 2 years with COVID, not having to run any live events. They saved so much money and yet got rid of more people, more and more, shrank the roster. Seemingly every other month there was another 10 or 15 people being cut due to quote-unquote budget cuts. But they're making more money than ever. And we see it, of course, those of us that watch All Elite Wrestling, AEW, we see so many of those people show up in AEW, making that roster, kind of bloated, and still more to come. There's still a lot more people that are going to be in AEW over the next few months, but they just couldn't bring them all in at once because it's already pretty bloated. But what's the end game for WWE? Are they just not trying to create new stars? Are they just going to keep going with the same old people until they all just break down? I don't exactly know what they're going for right now.
I honestly think they're positioning to be sold.
Yeah, that's a popular opinion. There's so much money that's coming in, and there's so many opportunities for other entities to move in, whether it's NBC, whether it's Fox, whether it's somebody completely out of the blue, Amazon. There's so much money flying around right now, and we see that, Jay, with all the football contracts, which we haven't talked about at all, with all the broadcasting rights. There's about as much money flying around there as there is for free agent players right now.
That's been pretty crazy, but yeah, it feels like I say it every year, but it feels like we could have taped this show 5 years ago and just played it tonight, and I don't think anybody would have known the difference.
That's a shame, but it's true. I don't want it to be that way, but it is. It's because it's the same people again.
I think what they're gonna, here's what they can do now. Now that we have all the technology, we don't even actually have to have a live WrestleMania event. WrestleMania. Oh, it's late. We don't need to have. I just combined a few things there. That would be like what they could call it for Halloween, huh?
WrestleMania. Ooh.
Yeah. No, now we can just digitally de-age all of these guys like they do, like they did with Luke Skywalker. And we can just take all these old wrestlers and digitally de-age them, and then they'll look young again. So we don't even need to make new stars. Let's just make the old stars new again.
Do not give Vince McMahon any ideas. I don't do that because, man.
I tell you what, I got old body 15. I sat through an hour 45 minutes, and what did I learn? It's the same people. I saw a chick get her hair cut, and a guy stole a sword. And good night, everybody.
Thanks for coming. And you know what you missed in the first hour 15? The two old guys that had the main event 4 years ago that you said Seth Rollins was going to run in and interrupt and cash in Money in the Bank. You missed them yapping to the crowd, which you could have, you didn't miss anything there. It was
apparently
the same thing that they usually
do. I was following it on Twitter as I was eating my dinner, and apparently Twitter was ablaze with people talking about Roman Reigns' tracksuit.
That was the big talk.
That's what I missed. Yeah.
Yeah. So that tells you that's that's the big hype, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you get when you watch WWE is talk about what clothes they're wearing and Well, there are odds. I don't know how updated they might be. I did have a couple of articles. One from covers.com for WrestleMania odds, one from Odd Shark looking at odds on Bovada, but I believe both of those were written at least a couple of days ago, maybe more than that. So not necessarily updated up to the moment. And I think that's important because, Jerry, as we know, the tradition, if you see a wrestler or a team on the go-home episodes of Raw or SmackDown, if you see one side get a real advantage, it's pretty much a sure bet that the other side is going to wind up winning the actual match at WrestleMania. And that leads me to what Jay referenced, the haircutting incident where Bianca Belair is being beat down by the Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, who takes out some scissors and threatens to cut Bianca Belair's hair, but Belair is able to overcome her and overpower. And then Bianca Belair proceeds to cut off some chunks of Becky Lynch's hair. That is a clear, you know, babyface going over the heel and making them look bad. Just as clear as when Undertaker overcame Roman Reigns and their buildup and was stabbing his hand in blood, or Paul Heyman's hand in blood. I forget exactly how that went. Roman Reigns was the sort of the baby face in that, and Brock Lesnar was I'm confusing the Undertaker and Roman Reigns, when Roman Reigns went over Undertaker's streak. Undertaker was beating down Roman Reigns on Raw before the WrestleMania, which was an indicator to me, well, I guess Roman Reigns is going to end the streak. Roman Reigns is going to win, because they had Roman Reigns looking so bad leading up to WrestleMania that there's nothing that they could do but put him over. Otherwise, he was going to look completely buried. So same thing here. You get Bianca Belair going over so strong tonight and cutting off the champ's hair and making her look bad and completely embarrassing her. That would suggest that Becky Lynch is going to go over Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. And I think that's a mistake, because that's one of the few young stars, Bianca Belair, that you're building up. But they punked her at SummerSlam when she was the Raw champion and had Becky Lynch come off of maternity leave and beat her with one move. So this whole build from there has been for Bianca Belair to get back in position to go over strong and, you know, once again regain her title and continue her ascent. But then they have her going crazy tonight and cutting off Becky Lynch's hair. So do you see Becky Lynch going over and burying Bianca Belair at WrestleMania?
Unfortunately, I think I see that happening. And then on top of that, I think the gimmick that, you know, Bianca's hair has always been, that's kind of her trademark. And I got a feeling that Vince is over that, and that we're going to see her ponytail go at this event. Mm. I wish I was wrong, but that's probably what's going to go down.
Yeah, that'd be a real shame. Yeah. Like I said, you're building a young star. You have her get knocked off last summer, you know, in one move. I still don't quite understand why they had to tear her down like that, having to lose in one move to Becky Lynch. And if she doesn't beat Lynch and take back the Raw title, it really feels like a sort of a burial. And if they have Becky Lynch then remove her hair and cut her ponytail in revenge, yeah, like you said, that would seem to be just somebody, whether it's Vince or somebody else, saying, yeah, Bianca, what, that thing with the hair where you're whipping people and leaving scars on them, yeah, that's done. We're not gonna do that anymore. But yeah, the odds makers are going with what has been going on all, you know, last year since SummerSlam, that Bianca Belair has been building back up to be the big challenger to take Becky Lynch back down. And everything had been pointing towards Bianca Belair was going to be victorious at WrestleMania and overcome the odds and whatnot. Bianca Belair was a huge favorite. -550 on the covers article about WrestleMania, -500 on the Odds Shark column. And I would think those odds are going to change drastically based on tonight. So for again, we talk about the degenerate gambler a couple nights ago when we talked about the Oscars. Call 1-800-GAMBLER if you're betting on WrestleMania odds. But if you are, man, jump on the Becky Lynch bandwagon and take all that money, because that would appear to be the way the way that things are going.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get Becky to – this is like the last attempt to try and get Becky to be a monster heel. I don't know if you've noticed. I've watched other events where she doesn't quite get all booze.
So hard to tell. That's another point that I was going to bring up, that I remember on this show last year I said – that WWE would not go away from all that engineering of the sound and the boos and the cheers that they were getting into during COVID with the empty arenas. And unfortunately, I'm dead on right about that. They cannot help themselves. They absolutely have to sweeten the sound almost every chance they get to have the people boo when they're supposed to be booing, whether they're booing or not, and have the people cheering whether they're supposed to be cheering or not. And I don't know how much of the Becky Lynch mixed reaction is real or what they want, what they're trying to create. I think the Roman Reigns mixed reaction is also engineered for a mixture of boos and cheers. I don't know what to believe. It might be that way in live arenas, but there's no way for us to know because it's so clearly, obviously fake and sweetened crowd noise. It might be a mixture of boos and cheers for Becky Lynch, but they definitely have been trying to make her a heel. They've been trying to make her the female Conor McGregor, and with mixed results. I don't know if I buy her necessarily being, the swaggering badass with the smart mouth. I think she's trying a little too hard a lot of times, but I see what they're going for. They're trying to make her like a multi-platform type star, not just a wrestling star. They're trying to see if there's some sort of mainstream appeal there, and I don't have a problem with that. It's just, like I said, I don't know what's real and what's not as far as these reactions are. So Jay, you said you saw the hair cutting incident as part of your what struck you about that? It was definitely a surprise. I know that.
I honestly just kept waiting for somebody to get slammed onto the scissors and killed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm going to see something tonight. Because there's these big-ass scissors just laying in the ring, and they keep body slamming each other. And it's like, oh, my God, there's scissors. Like, I would let my kids in there. Someone's going to get body slammed onto scissors. That would have been newsworthy. The haircutting, I was like, okay. Maybe she wanted a haircut anyways, and they just worked that into the story.
Yeah, she was looking a little shaggy there. No, I'm with you. Becky, Bianca Belair was sort of swinging them around a little wildly while she was cutting Becky Lynch's hair.
Yeah,
and
so, yeah, even during the hair cutting, I thought it was a little bit like, ooh, am I going to see something here? Someone's going to get, scissors in the temple?
Right, exactly. It was a little scary, a little hairy there, so to speak. So that's one young star, but it looks like they're ready to bury that. There's not too many other big star, young stars trying to be built on this show. I guess Omos, the big African guy. I don't know if you caught that, Jay. But were you home in time for that?
I saw the recap.
Okay.
Of it, when Bobby Lashley ran in there and oh my God, he knocked him over. Nobody's ever knocked him over. It's got a very Andre the Giant feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've done that before with big guys. They love trying to build big guys.
A Big Show. Remember when that was a thing for a while? They love their big guys who have zero moves. I don't know if this guy has any moves, other than just being large.
No. No, he really doesn't.
That's his thing. I mean, he's like one step from Great Khali kind of situation.
Yes.
He's going to kill somebody.
He's big and lumbering.
The Great Khali had bad knees, so he really walked around like Frankenstein. And it was just really hard to watch. In fact, there was a pay-per-view where the main event years ago was going to have a cage match but involving bamboo and everything, and he ended up not even being in the match. They had to throw somebody else in there. It was not working out that bad.
It was the Punjabi prison match, and he not really participate in it because he couldn't move. Think of El Gigante, Jason. This is pretty much what we're talking about. Guys who basically stand in the middle and let everybody else sort of bounce around them and do all the movement. This is pretty much what we're talking about.
And every once in a while, like somebody tries to come off the ropes, they'll put their foot up and kick them.
Yep. Or put a hand up and chop them down. Yep.
Yeah.
You got it.
Or catch them in like a choke hold, give them a big choke slam or something. Yeah. It's like, there's only like three or four moves that these guys can do, but these aren't going to be athletic finishers or anything like that.
You just nailed the Omos, repertoire. You just nailed it.
Oh, okay. And I've never seen him wrestle.
And you've never seen him wrestle, and you just named all the moves.
No, nobody's seen him wrestle.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, the thing I noticed here is I'm looking at the card right now. The two-night card is, I'm kind of pining for the days when you would just have one really awesome night of WrestleMania instead of what it looks like to be is two nights of mediocrity.
Yeah, well, but what they have been doing is it was getting more and more bloated. So it wasn't one awesome night. It
was like
one
6 hours
long,
of the pre-show. Yeah.
Interminable.
Yeah.
Absolutely crowd-killing night.
It was like the technical Oscars, all the Oscars that they hand out before the show.
Yes, and the fans were like literally falling asleep. So they made the decision to split it into two nights, and I don't think I don't know if they're ever going back because it's the days of those long WrestleManias that started with the pre-show at like 3-4 in the afternoon and didn't end till 11 at night. I don't know if anyone was a fan of those, and so I think that's a thing in the past. I don't know if they're ever going back from that.
Yeah, I'd say less is more at this. Just go back to like a kick-ass 4-hour live card. And this to me seems to be a bit much, especially looking down this docket and what the bloat in this
right.
card.
How do you get all the celebrities on there if you have it if you have a tight 4-hour card? How can you do that?
Yeah, and honestly, the first day actually looks more interesting than the second day, because day two.
That's what happened last year too.
Okay, they did the same thing last year. Like the first night was better than the second night.
I thought it was last year, wasn't it? Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair stole the show.
Okay.
And it was the main event on the first night, and they blew their wad. And that should have main evented the second night, in my opinion. Then Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey are going to do that. I think they're going to do that again.
Is that the first night?
I think it is. And I think that's the other thing with two nights.
Yeah.
They can have the women main event one of the nights.
And then pat themselves on the back. We talked about this, Jason. They get to hit that spot. They get to check that box and say, we have women main eventing WrestleMania. See, by splitting it up, you can have someone main event the first night and say, hey, they main event at WrestleMania, even though that's still the second night to go. That's the real main event is actually.
Yeah, I see both the big women's matches are the first night.
Yeah, so they get
so are you here calling the shot? So you're saying that Cody Rhodes is going to be the TBA, the TBD that's going to wrestle Seth Rollins, or
it's the most horrible secret that's been kept in the world? Yes, Cody is going to re-debut once again for WWE and be Seth Rollins' mystery opponent. Absolutely, that's been in the works for a long time, and. With that one, Jerry Rollins working with Cody, a worst-kept secret. What's really interesting to me is how they're going to wind up treating Cody Rhodes. Cody, Jay, if you don't know, they had him as a mid-card guy, Dusty Rhodes' kid.
Yep.
Had him for a while, fired him, didn't have anything for him. He goes indie, he goes to Japan, goes around the world, becomes a much better in-ring wrestler, makes himself an actual star, goes on to help create and found All Elite Wrestling. Top executive, one of the top, creative minds there at AEW. One of the reasons why AEW exists, and just a couple of months ago or so, decides to leave, reportedly because he didn't have as much influence booking as he wanted. Just like his old man, if he can't book the whole thing, he gets pouty and throws a fit. So he wants all the control. He doesn't have it. So he decides, I'm gone. I'm going to leave. And he's coming back to WWE. And I don't know how in the world that's going to work, because all the history of Vince McMahon getting a big rival that has given him fits, competition wise, when he gets his hands on one of those rivals, historically he buries them. It might start out great. Cody's probably going to beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. He's going to get a huge pop. But Jerry, doesn't it seem like 3, 4, 5 months from now, Cody Rhodes is going to be jobbing to Happy Corbin and running around trying to win the 24/7 title?
Oh, not only that, he's going to have polka dots on.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Kevin Nash had an old adage of what promoters used to say is, when somebody had a bad name or something like that, he says, no, go ahead and book them. Then you screw them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what's going to happen. So, yeah, that's what's going to happen for Seth Rollins' mystery opponent. They've been chanting Cody's name on Raw for weeks now. So everybody knows, you know, this is the era of the fans get smarter and smarter every year. There's more and more insider information out there that you can find this type of stuff. The difference in intellectual between the fans of today and 20, 30 years ago is night and day. Like, I don't know what the estimate of sort of insider fans or fans that knew what was going to happen sitting in the arenas. Back in like the, 1990, it was probably like, 5-10% of them. And then the internet comes along and, one of the great things about it is you can pass all this information along in, the snap of a finger, and fans get smarter and smarter and smarter. So now probably, 70, maybe upwards of 80% of the fans sitting in there know the inner workings and know what's going on before the stuff happens out there. And I think that's what keeps drawing me to watching wrestling is we get this information and we sort of all know now what's going to happen. So now the draw is, how are they going to pull it off? How entertaining is it going to be when they actually do the things that we know they're going to do? Everybody knows what's going to happen. Everybody knows Roman Reigns is going to beat Brock Lesnar and keep the and win both championships and go on to run everything until The Rock finally frees up his schedule and comes along. But the entertainment comes in, how do they do it and how do they make it look better than they did when they had the same damn match 4 years ago, which, again, I can't stop laughing at them pushing this and marketing this as the biggest WrestleMania match of all time when they already had this match 4 years ago. I can't believe it.
We've had this multiple times, haven't we?
Well, I think what they're saying is title for title, which they've done title for title before. And I don't know if they're going to go back to keeping two separate brands, but the champion can go on both. I think that's kind of what they're going for. Maybe they're going to eliminate a title, or there's just like a unified champion, of an undisputed champion,
Yeah, they're going to do that, and then when they get bored 3 years later, they're going to split them up again and bring the other title back again. But for now, there's money in, I guess, in unifying it and making Roman Reigns look as strong as possible. So I'm 100% sure that's what's going to happen there. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you see the main event coming out different, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns?
Well, Roman Reigns is the future. Brock's, he can go year to year with his contract. He also has a tendency to only wrestle every so many months. So to me, it would make sense to have Roman win, and I think everyone's kind of going with Brock. I don't know what Vegas is saying, but I think it makes sense to have Roman win and keep going. He makes a good heel. I mean, they had no other choice. They couldn't get anybody behind him for the longest time. Thank God. I mean, with John Cena, they just refused to flip him. It was a real smart move with Roman Reigns, and I thought it's been going well.
Yeah, Jay, you've been laughing at the trying to push Roman Reigns as a good guy for years and years and years because he kept getting booed.
I believe that's been discussed on this show that he'd be a lot better as a bad guy. He's awful with the mic, but he's a big, imposing looking guy. And it seems like he kind of, I think he just leans into the bad guy role a little bit more. He looks like a bad guy. Maybe that's working. Like you said, it's so hard to tell by the crowd reaction because I can't tell if he's getting cheered for or not.
Right.
But
I'd like to be able to.
It's
tell,
hard because it's WrestleMania. It's such a large stadium.
Right.
That you're not going to get a feel. I mean, if it's the Barclays Center, if they weren't manipulating the audience reactions, usually you get a pretty good idea in New York of where people sat. There are a lot of smart fans. There's a lot of smart fans that are going to be at WrestleMania, but it's such a large stadium that I just think everything's going to come across as a cheer to some extent.
Yeah, and you know, and having it be Reigns again is, I guess, fine, but to have him have to wrestle Lesnar again, this just feels so old and tired. it shows you just the lack of getting anybody up to that championship level that you could make a compelling match for that you know, that top draw match that now you have to, guys, you know, I guess because, what, Triple H retired, so they're not going to dig him up?
No, they can't dig him up anymore. He had a heart event situation, so no, he definitely
oh,
is
no.
not getting back.
Good.
I mean, I say they always come back, but for that one, he might actually want to stay retired. We don't want to see a death in the ring, at least not another one. You're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had viral pneumonia on top of an unknown heart condition that almost killed him.
Yeah. You know? I mean, they're digging up Stone Cold. That whole thing tonight was that was just weird. You know.
Jerry was asking about the odds for Reigns and Lesnar. Reigns -300 on the covers article, and -340 on the Odd Shark article. So big favorite to win that match. I think that's the only way really they can go. Like you said, Reigns is quote unquote the future at age 37 or whatever he is. They're definitely looking to. I still feel like they're looking at him and Rock, sort of for control. You know, the old WWE versus the new school, and you know, smack some sense into the youngster. Even though Roman Reigns is, you know, pushing 40, I still think they're looking for that. Whenever Rock decides he wants to do that and free up his schedule, but he's actually legitimately still, you know, busy as one of the top Hollywood stars out there. So. Can't go
I remember
route.
Us talking last year about this was going to be this was going to be the one for The Rock coming back.
I really felt it was being in Dallas, being in that stadium with the potential to legitimately actually set some attendance records, not the made up records that they like to push that they actually don't, you know, put 70,000 or 80,000 real paying fans in those seats. Is more like, you know, 45,000 paying and then, you know, 30 more that they gave out tickets, like, you know, at radio stations and shit. For this stadium with that main event of Rock Reigns, I felt like was going to be their best shot at legitimately filling up a stadium like that. And they couldn't do that. And the Austin thing, I think, is their fallback, is that I don't know how much they're giving him to do this to make this big comeback, but, this is the only other thing that they probably could do to make a big house down there in Dallas is bring back Stone Cold out of mothballs. And
like, yeah, it's so, like, who have we got?
And it's not even a match. I think he's going to come out.
No.
I think KO's going to come out, talk some crap. He's going to throw a stunner and maybe stop a mud hole, catch some beers, and that is it. And he's going to do that and be a damn millionaire.
Yeah. But they can't have a match with The Rock and Roman Reigns because they'd have to call it Rock Reigns, and then Tim Reigns is going to sue.
You know,
hey,
I think I don't know where – did they announce next year's WrestleMania venue? If it was at the new L.A. stadium, that would be a great venue for that.
Then they could bring in Cena. They bring in all these guys. These are all – you know, they're all Hollywood guys now, right?
Yeah, but you can't just say, hey, we're here near you and you can come out for us. You got to make them have a reason to come out, because the product
money.
Is so always about the money. And the product is not something that you necessarily want to get behind because it's so lukewarm, you know. It's of course, if, you know, money talks, if they have enough of that.
It's all about the money. It's all about the money.
You can make anything happen if you have enough money, I suppose. WrestleMania 39 is indeed scheduled to take place at SoFi on April 2nd of 2023.
That makes sense. Okay. So let the speculation begin.
You don't even watch wrestling, and you call the location of the next WrestleMania. Geez, is it really this predictable? My God. You don't watch a lick of this stuff, and you're like, you know, next year should be in SoFi. And sure enough, next year it's in SoFi. Wow. That was a good job out of you. I had one more thought about the Reigns-Lesnar match. And it's, of course, hey, it's serious. Now I'm out for blood. You done changed the game, boy. How hypocritical, Jerry, is that when WWE and Vince McMahon are always looking at AEW and talking about, well, you know, the blood and guts over there, you know, that we don't do that type of stuff. We don't think that's, you know, reflects good on the business. So we, you know, AEW has a lot more matches where people are bleeding. They have matches where women are cutting themselves and bleeding. There's a lot more of the violence factor, the old school wrestling factor over there in AEW. If you want to see bloody battles, if you miss that, then AEW is the place to go. But WWE has a lot of criticism about that. Of course, WWE doesn't do a whole lot of blood these days, or hardly any, you know, being corporately sponsored and whatnot. And I understand that. But then you can't go both ways. You can't turn around and have Roman Reigns attack Brock Lesnar at Madison Square Garden and draw this small little bit of blood on Lesnar's cheek and have Lesnar start going off and talking about, oh, you changed the game. It's going to be, I'm out for your blood now. And, you know, sort of foreshadowing that Lesnar's going to bust open Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. That's just hypocritical. That's just, there's no other way to describe
It's been shocking that WWE has been hypocritical over the last 30 or 40 years when when he was losing to Turner, saying, oh, you know, it's not fair, they got all this money. And then all of a sudden, you're talking about putting guys out of business. I'm like, isn't that what you were doing in the 80s? It's always been hypocrisy. If you go in the last couple of years, there's been a couple of matches, one involving Randy Orton and I think one involving Roman Reigns or Undertaker, where he hardwayed them with the elbow. Mm-hmm. And not only did you bust them open for real, like on purpose, but like it was hard enough that you could have concussed them doing that.
Yeah, Lesnar knocked the fuck out of Randy Orton, like legitimately, with elbows, and they did that on purpose. That was the planned finish to make Brock Lesnar look, you know, like a killer, and that's understandable. But number one, it's very dangerous. And number two, then you can't go on talking about, oh, blood and guts. AEW's got blood and guts, and you know that reflects bad on us. And you're doing the exact same thing. So yeah, very
well. And it wasn't the same thing. AEW at least is doing the old traditional blading,
right?
You're
exactly
literally using your elbow to rip somebody's skin open. I mean, that was actually a little more brutal.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not exactly the same. Yeah, definitely a lot of hypocrisy going down there. Yeah, the Steve Austin, Kevin Owens encounter, I'm extra cynical about it because, as I just said, I think they're only doing that because they're in Texas and they couldn't get a bigger attraction such as Rock, such as, you know, they probably would roll Undertaker out there again if he could stand up, but he's not fighting anymore. They are rolling him out for the Hall of Fame, but he's not getting in the ring. So, yeah, I think that's the only reason they're having this encounter. As they point out themselves, Austin hasn't wrestled in 19 years. There's no reason for him to come out of sort of retirement, pseudo-retirement, and do this, if not for WrestleMania being down in Texas. If the WrestleMania was in, you know, the Dome in Minnesota, I don't think Austin would be asked to do this. And I don't think if The Rock was there, they would ask him to do that either. But yeah, you pretty much said what that whole encounter is going to be, which is talk for 10 minutes and insult each other. And then Austin gives him the stunner and pours some beers on him and makes everybody happy. So not much to talk about there.
And the only reason they're choosing, they got Stone Cold because they couldn't thaw out Dusty Rhodes in time.
Well, but they're going to thaw out his kid. So it'll work out that way. They brought back Ronda Rousey, Jason. They didn't talk about her tonight because she wasn't on the show.
They did hype it up. I saw something. It was an ad. I mean, they basically played what amounts to never... it wasn't quite like a full promo, but yeah, it was I knew who was fighting.
Yeah, when they were previewing the whole card, yeah.
Yeah.
So they had to tell the you'll like this, Jason. Ronda Rousey, when she first came back, won the Women's Royal Rumble as a quote unquote surprise entrant. That's another one where, you know, a lot of the insider fans already knew she was coming back that night. But she's coming back out after maternity leave, after going away to have a baby. And if you remember when she was around a couple of years ago, the last time she was around, they had to turn her heel so that she could do the job to Becky Lynch and make Becky Lynch the new star, because people were turning on Ronda Rousey and booing her legitimately. It was back before they started sweetening the sound the way they do now. And so Ronda Rousey went from smiling and slapping hands to everybody to having that boo-boo face and coming out with that frown on her face, looking like your daughter. And walking around stomping and looking like she's all mad and wanted to throw dolls and stuff. She came back at the Royal Rumble doing the same thing. That's not the plan. They're planning to bring her back as a good girl, as a baby face,
right,
again. But she's still mad at the fans legitimately for booing her. So she's still got the boo-boo face. They had to take her aside and tell her, no, you're a good guy again. Please smile again. They had to beg her to smile again and slap hands with the fans when she came out, because she was still legitimately pissed that the fans are turning on her, because that's the type of person Ronda Rousey is.
She just wants to mean mug. That's fine. Or maybe she's just got, like, you know, resting bitch face or something.
She's extra sensitive. She is really she does not take criticism. She didn't take criticism well as an MMA fighter at all. So I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but. No, she's the baby face. Charlotte Flair is the heel.
Wrestle.
Now.
I mean, is she good? I mean, this is the main event on the first night. Could she wrestle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she and
Charlotte Flair
like,
can make a get a match. Yeah, Charlotte Flair can get a good match out of a mop handle.
Okay.
She's gonna. I mean, she can. Charlotte Flair is that good, and we're probably gonna see something spectacular. I think Charlotte Flair is gonna get a WrestleMania moment. I don't know what. It's gonna be big.
And Ronda is very good for her experience level, as far as WWE style. Like, she hasn't been doing that all that long, you know, 3 years maybe. But she's really good, you know, for somebody that's so inexperienced. And like Jerry said, Charlotte Flair being, you know, Ric Flair's daughter, she knows all the ins and outs, and she can make a great match with anybody. So, yeah, just as much as Sasha Banks made a great match with Bianca Belair for last year's first night main event, because Sasha's got the experience and Bianca Belair is very green, but Sasha put together a great, great match and really made a star out of Bianca Belair. And yeah, Charlotte's going to do something similar with Ronda Rousey and make her a big star once again and put her over. But Ronda really hates the fans. That just tickles me, because they got sick of her boo-boo face a couple years ago. She should take the SmackDown crown from Charlotte Flair, but they're going to have the same problem. If they don't, like, heavily sweeten the crowd going forward after she wins the title back, the crowd's going to turn on her again and get tired of her again, because she doesn't have that much personality. She's just, you know, she's just kind of there. She's a great fighter, but she doesn't really have that it factor to me. She's a huge favorite, minus 600 on the covers article. And,
who is?
Ronda Rousey.
Oh, okay. So they're expecting her to win this one.
Yeah. And okay. minus 700 on the Odds Shark website. So, yeah, huge favorite. And Jerry's right. They're gonna go about 15, 20 minutes, and it's going to be head and shoulders above most of the other matches on that show.
Yeah, it'd probably be a lot better than Pat McAfee and Austin Theory.
This is why you got to have two nights, because you got to get those celebrities in there.
This
Pat
is what I
McAfee.
Mean. Trim the fat. Jesus Christ.
Right.
I mean, what is this? Well, do we need to see Edge wrestle? Is this 1998?
No, we don't. We really don't. We don't need to see Logan Paul wrestle. We don't need to see Johnny
Knoxville. The fact that we're calling...
How about that?
Yeah, Pat McAfee and Logan Paul as stars is kind of just strange.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you don't build new stars. You got to go this route.
Yeah, there's definitely bloat in this, you know. And, you know, I can remember, I can always remember, I always could go to some friend's house. Somebody would have on WrestleMania, and I'd go and I'd watch, you know. And I first of all, I can't do 2 days of this. I can barely handle one.
Right.
And it was always, you know.
At least it's all, like, recorded, and it's not like you got to pay to watch it again, though, if you have the network.
This is two nights live, right? They're doing this over 2 days. Oh, are these 3 hour, are these 2 3-hour chunks, or what are they?
Yeah, probably 3 4-hour chunks, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Jerry's pointing out,
it started feeling like watching, remember the old ESPN days, watching the first day of the NFL draft? When it would start at like 9 o'clock in the morning and go till 7 p.m. WrestleMania was starting to feel like, by the time you got to the main event, you were just done with it all.
Yeah.
I understand.
Especially the crowd sitting there in the stands. Oh, they were just, it was torture.
No, I understand what they're doing, but I would just rather see, you know, like I said, I'd rather just see 4 hours of quality. I mean, because you can get, my God, you can get 8 to 10 matches in a solid 4 hour show. We're getting 14 matches plus an interview.
plus an encounter, right?
Yes.
Yeah, with the KO show. They're really going with the celebrity thing. They more and more celebs in the ring. They got away with it last year with the rapper's name, I'm drawing a blank, Bad Bunny, who actually looked really good in his match, but I don't think you can count on that. There's no way Johnny Knoxville is going to look good in his match.
Yeah, he's not
going to
be up there hitting his spots.
No. He'll be hitting his head, but he's not going to be hitting his spots. There's no way, Logan Paul is going to look anywhere near as good as Bad Bunny, although Logan Paul is a very good athletic type.
He's a boxer, right?
Yeah, he's one of these YouTube chodes.
He's a YouTuber, but he's basically trying to turn himself like into a boxer, you know?
It's a tag team match,
so I'm sure he'll be limited action. I'm sure it's The Miz, so he'll be doing all the heavy lifting.
Right.
I got a feeling that Dominic's going to turn on his dad.
Oh, and there's a shot.
That's past due. And then Johnny Knoxville, if he wins, they're going to have it where his whole entourage is there, and they all kind of different hijinks to get the win.
That's anything goes, right? That's anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can cheat.
That's got all the makings of a Benny Hill match. There's all sorts of craziness.
Oh, yeah. That's got some New Jack written all over it. They're going to bring out the trash can with the vacuum cleaner in it.
There could be all sorts of things that's going to be one of those where everyone's just running around and somebody brought a ladder here and somebody brought a broom here and you're going to
somebody over there in a bear costume.
Someone got a vacuum cleaner. Where'd that come from? My God. Johnny Knoxville, by the way, who is proud to have suffered multiple severe concussions in his line of work as the jackass guy. And now he's getting in a ring, in a wrestling ring, and facing Sami Zayn. They better take care of him is all I can say. That could go really, really, really bad in a number of different ways, not just as far as what it looks like in the ring, but as far as the guy wrestling does not have wrestling experience and probably needs to be extra protected more so than most other people.
Yeah. He's kind of an old guy, isn't he? I mean,
yeah. And he's old. Well, that's stupendously old. That's
he's 51.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. And this isn't the first time that we've seen Jackass.
Young in the WWE.
I think, Steve-O and, some other guy was against Umaga like 10 years ago. And that one didn't end so good. That one, one of the guys kept getting up after he get the finisher, and it started pissing off the Umaga character, and he basically started just laying him out. And I think he ended up concussing Steve-O over the whole thing. And I don't think it'll go – it's a new time, new era. They wouldn't pull something like that now, but they're going to do some high-risk hijinks, and I'm sure there's going to be some pranks, and, you know, be cool to have a cup of cheese or who the hell knows what.
I vaguely remember that, Jerry. You're right. Like, Steve-O was taking hard moves that are supposed to knock you out and, like, getting up and laughing. So, and, yeah, you're going to get stiffed after you do that at least one or two times, that's for sure. So let's see what the odds are looking at for some of these other matches. Logan Paul and The Miz are actually favored over the Mysterios slightly, minus 160. And minus 250 on the Odd Shark side. So I think that, I'm reading that wrong. Odd Shark actually has the Mysterios as minus 250 favorite. So there's a conflict there. But again, these are articles that were written, last week, sometime. So all these odds might change. All the booking might change. And I didn't think of, Dominic turning on Ray at this stage,
it's going to be the mega powers explode. His dad, Ray's going to go for the hot tag, and Dominic's going to deny the tag and let his dad get his ass handed to him.
See, I was looking the other way. I was looking at the way Logan Paul was sort of eyeballing The Miz during some of the build-up the last couple of weeks. Like, Logan Paul was making it look like he wasn't necessarily down with all the hijinks that The Miz was doing. So I was thinking maybe Logan Paul was going to try to do the swerve and try to come out of this as the baby face and beating up the Miz, making it a 3-on-1.
The other option would be the Miz loses the match, gets up, Logan Paul gives him shit, he gets in his face, and he gets knocked out via Buster Douglas style. And Mike Tyson.
I can see that too. A slight bit of intrigue on a match that really otherwise doesn't have any.
Got away from these battle royals that they used to do, these memorial battle royals.
They actually
they're
are
going with
do
large
that
tag
Friday.
Matches.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know exactly what the thinking is, but they did advertise that as part of the Raw show, is that the WrestleMania battle royal will not take place at WrestleMania. It's going to take place on SmackDown Friday. I don't know. That I guess that's just part of trying to break it up and stop from all the bloating that we're talking about.
I mean, but that was always the way on WrestleMania night to get to see all the scrubby guys who weren't good enough to be on the card.
Oh, they definitely need to get all the guys in somehow. Get them all at WrestleMania payday. That's
right.
Definitely something that they still try to do, is get everybody an appearance at least.
Okay. But that was always what that seemed to be, you know. It was like, okay, none of these – there are all the people who didn't quite make the cut to be on the WrestleMania card, so we're going to throw them all in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Or the Battle Royale, you know,
Yeah, they definitely still do
that.
Yeah,
now they're going to be thrown together as big tag team matches.
Which, yeah, that seems to be the thing, because I'm seeing some of, like, I saw Randy Orton on the tag team tonight. I was like, oh, boy, how the mighty have fallen.
That's another one that I thought was maybe a turn brewing, because that is definitely an odd couple deal that they got with him and Matt Riddle. They're the tag champs on Raw, but Matt Riddle is like the sort of young stoner guy. He's not young either. He's 35, but he's like the hey bro, you know, that type of guy. And Orton is the serious, you know, 20-year veteran guy. And they're the odd couple, and Orton was beating him up, you know, earlier when they first started having encounters last year. But, you know, Riddle won him over and earned his trust, and now Orton's calling him his friend, which, you know, to me just seems like a setup for a turn. But that's just me.
There's like three tag teams going at that night, and yeah. I'm not even sure if the crowd's going to care, and that's a good opportunity. I'm predicting lots of people turn on each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a four-way for the tag titles, I believe. And
for the women's.
Okay, the women's is a four-way tag, and the men's is a three-way with the Street Profits. What did you think of them deciding for that to be the sort of the last thing on Raw? The usually the last build is the champions, the actual singles champion, but they decided to go with.
I was stunned that was the last match.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I mean, I actually went and filled up my water. It was good for me because it gave me a chance to kind of like get ready for the show because I really didn't have any interest in seeing it. And then by the time I came back, they were all doing their sort of after the bell shenanigans and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think they try like they used to. It's only $10 to get Peacock. And if you already have Peacock for $5, then they're only asking you to spend $5 more to see WrestleMania. So it wasn't like before where WrestleMania was, I think it topped out in the $60 range for a pay-per-view when it was in a pay-per-view format. And I just don't think they have to try as much anymore. And I just think...
Or they're not going to get it.
So they already got the thing sold out months ago, or as many
right.
tickets as they're going to sell. And honestly, if you already have the Peacock Network, would you spend the extra $5 to see even one match? Well... $5 for one match.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of one of these wrestlers or you have even a passing interest or you're going to have a party, like, wow, you'd have a whole WrestleMania party at your house for $5.
Well, yeah, Jerry's right. It's a whole different ball game now that they're not doing it on pay-per-view. It's exclusively on Peacock, which... and, I already have all the, you know, Peacock Plus, Peacock Premium, whatever you want to call it. I already have that just because I happen to have Comcast cable, which is owned by NBC. So that all got to me automatically. So I didn't know how it worked if you don't have Peacock automatically. So, Jerry, you're saying you have Peacock, but then if you don't have Peacock Plus or Premium, then you have to pay a little more to get WrestleMania. But only $5.
Yeah, so I used to have back when I had the WWE Network, it was $10 a month. I thought that was a good value. If you watch one of the big events every month, you're paying for it. I already had Peacock for $5, and then when the announcement happened, I was like, okay, I'm actually going to pay less to get WWE Network. I'm going to pay $5 less. And, so $10 a month to have the WWE Network in with Peacock. You're only paying $5 more.
So Peacock absorbed in WWE Network then.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't even get WWE Network on its own anymore.
No.
God, do you remember that one?
Peacock.
Do you remember the one WrestleMania where that's all they talked about?
$9.99 a month.
Oh, my God. What a deal it was.
They wanted to get the subscription rate up to about, 4 million people was their goal. I don't know where it's at now. Or if it even really matters, I guess it would matter with the rates they get with their cut with Peacock, but Peacock paid them up front.
Yep, it doesn't even matter anymore. It's all about the money. They did the deal with Peacock and made it exclusive, and now it really truly doesn't matter anymore. Because you're right, everything is already baked in, and TV rates are pretty much the only thing that's a variable now. Whenever that contract comes up again with USA Network, other than that, no, they don't care. And they don't have to because it's all baked in. So maybe that's why they don't care about building new stars.
maybe that's why they don't care if their card is crap.
Yeah.
Unless USA really opens their pocket, Peacock's just going to take it and then you can just watch it on the WWE Network. Versus, I think now you can watch it 5 or 6 weeks after it's aired on Peacock. Raw and SmackDown.
Right. You can't go right to WWE Network and watch it the next night. I've looked for it and it's not there. And I'm like, okay, so now I got to go to the USA Network app or go online. And that's just crap because they play like part of the show and then they give you these automatic commercials. You can't skip them. And then once they play the commercials, you can't go back to the show. Like it just freezes every time, and then you got to refresh, and then you go through the commercials again, and it's like, this is garbage. And I think they do that on purpose. I think they want that to be garbage, but it is what it is. So the rest of this show, we talked a little bit about Johnny Knoxville going to get on there and try to wrestle. Pat McAfee has a match with a young star, Austin Theory. So Pat McAfee has wrestled, Jay. I think he wrestled once. Was it a singles match with Adam Cole in NXT? So he has gotten in there, or was it, I don't remember if it was a singles or part of a tag team situation, but he did get in there and he didn't look terrible. They didn't ask him to do too much. So this will be his second match, I believe, in WWE. I think this is just part of the celebrity thing. I don't think there's any way they give a damn about letting Pat McAfee get in the ring, except he's got a following now. He's got a popular podcast and he's got some mainstream credibility. Of course, you know, him and Aaron Rodgers made some news when they had their show.
Yeah. So does that mean next year it's Joe Rogan?
Boy, I really hope not. But I put nothing past Vince McMahon. Nothing at all.
Let's just go. We got a YouTube guy. We've got a podcaster. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All about the mainstream. I think a guy that we're going to hear about, the guy we're going to hear about next year is Gable Stevenson. He has a WWE contract, but they allowed him to go and finish up his NCAA career. And he just won the NCAA championship, I think, for the second year in a row. And, I mean, this guy looks like he could be Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what
that's
his personality's
exactly what
like, though.
Went to my mind. I'm like, he's going to show up in the same outfit, even. Like, you know, with the Olympic medal and all that stuff, right?
That's right. I won the
it just
Olympic
scares
gold
me
medal.
How they're gonna, if they're going to develop him or are they just going to bury him. I don't know what. I know, is it Rick Steiner's son? Is making a big splash in NXT right now, too.
Yes, he's the champ down – he was the champ down there. They already had him job to Dolph Ziggler. But, yeah, he looks really good, Bronson, Rick Steiner. And they said they're going to put the Steiners in the Hall of Fame this year. So how ironic is that? The kid gets on NXT and now they're putting the father and his brother in the WWE Hall of Fame. So it's funny how all that goes together. There's nothing that WWE and Vince McMahon don't do with a purpose. There's always something behind.
Yeah, there's a politic
decision
behind everything.
Always,
right?
Always. No doubt about it.
Well, they're not stupid. I mean, it's still, yeah, even though it feels like we're always dancing on the grave of it, they're still number one for now.
They are. AEW's breathing down their neck, but again, there's certain things like the TV contracts and the Peacock and whatnot that make it where WWE almost doesn't have to care so much that AEW is becoming more popular than them, because like things are baked in and sunk cost, and they're not tearing up that TV contract, right? That money is coming in. The Saudi Arabia money is always going to be there. They still do two shows every year in Saudi Arabia and make an obscene amount of money doing that. So certain things are going to be there no matter how popular AEW gets. So they almost don't have to really care. So they took a couple of guys and made them turn heel just for this WrestleMania, just because they were, I guess, running out of ideas to set up matches. So they had your guy Edge, you just mentioned, the Elder Statesman, now who's all of a sudden, for no reason, he's a bad guy and he's attacking AJ Styles and laying him out. So that's going to be a match. And Damian Priest, who snapped after losing the U.S. title to Finn Balor, now he's a bad guy for some reason. And what kind of angers me a little bit about that, Jerry, is you just mentioned Bron Breakker, Rick Steiner's kid. There are several NXT dudes who could use the positioning. They could use that rub and that promotion instead of, you know, 47-year-old Edge and Damian Priest, who's 37, I believe, and they're running out of ideas, so they just turn them bad and make up matches for them. There's younger guys. There's people they could promote in those positions and give them some kind of push. And they just choose not to.
Ever since the formula, you know, Triple H's vision of NXT, I've actually gone to some NXT shows when they were up in Wisconsin, and they were phenomenal. And they had so much talent going on. I mean, at the time it was Sasha Banks and Charlotte and Finn Balor, and they had, I mean, and it was no shock that all these guys migrated over. But then to see where they're all at now, it's like, oh, what a shame of where they're all positioned. They were primed to be ready to take top spots within a couple of years, and now you got one of them wrestling Johnny Knoxville, and you got and I'm telling you, you know, Sami Zayn is a great wrestler, and to see him to where he's to this, it's sad. And there's a long list of wrestlers in NXT in the last 5 years, and I don't know if you guys knew, but like they kind of took NXT back, and they call it like NXT 2.0, and it's just a different product now, and it's not what it once was, and it's not, I don't know. I mean, now you got Dolph Ziggler, who couldn't win a big time match, and now he's their champion, and I don't know.
Yeah, like they demoted him, like we've run out of ideas for you up here in the main roster, so we're going to send you down to the minors, and you're going to be the champion down there. It's like, okay.
Well, a couple of years they sent Finn Balor back there to be their champion again at one point a couple of years ago.
Yep, sure did. But even the old guys that are still left, like most of the old guys that they had that were older guys, older, like, you know, lower 30s or mid 30s, that were primed to, like you said, take over and sort of be the next guys up, the Johnny Garganos and the entire Undisputed Era. Samoa Joe at one point went back down, came up and went back and went down and came back up and sort of was back and forth. So there's a couple of those guys still left that they could put in these spots other than having Edge and Lesnar and these old guys. I don't know what Gargano's doing right now besides paternity leave, but when he comes back, he could have been one of those guys. They still got Tommaso Ciampa hanging around. He could be one of those guys. We talked about Dolph. Robert Roode is still hanging around. There's plenty of guys that they could put in upper level. It's like you get in one slot and they just keep you there. You never seem to get out of that mold. You get it. You know, New Day got in that mold and they took each one and put them up and promoted them a little bit and then brought them right back down and put Kofi Kingston up there as champ for a while. And then they had Brock Lesnar just step over him and win the title in one move. They squashed him just like Becky Lynch squashed Bianca Belair last year. Then they have Big E step up this past year and win the title and put him back down. That reign didn't last very long. Now he's out with a broken neck. That's the frustrating part. It seems like there's potential to take certain guys and elevate them and actually move them along and not have them stagnate and be the same guy in the same spot year after year after year. But it's the politics of it. You get in this one spot and you can't move up because nobody else is, I guess, willing to give up their spot. They could move up, but at that point you got to have Edge and those guys to sit down, and they're not ready to sit down yet, unfortunately.
Well, I'm still sour about Bobby Roode. I mean, they had him come in, they gave him the best entrance that money could buy, and he still had that old school look, the old school robe. He was $1 million in NXT. They brought him over, and they removed the music because people were cheering for him, and they didn't even be a bad guy, so they dumped the music. And they just got to where it's like you don't even really get to see, you know, throw him in the Royal Rumble, and that's about it. It's just sad because now he is older. I mean, he's in his 40s. But when they brought him in, I think he was already 39 or 40 when they brought him in. But, man, they could have had a hell of a run with him. And he had a great look. And you know, he had like that neck of like Chris Benoit, and I don't know if we're allowed to even say that, but he had like that neck of Chris Benoit, and that build
the name that shall not be spoken.
Yeah, he had the build of like Stone Cold, where he had a lean look, but a real athletic, good look. It was just fantastic. And just some of these guys, I just don't know what they do with them. But then they'll keep, is it Happy Corbin now or whatever his name is?
Oh, God.
I mean, that guy, you know, they kind of built him up a bit. And I think the thing that always hurt him is going to sound real petty, but like he never developed like abs of any sort. And like, so they always had him wear a shirt and they tried everything. I mean, you know, when they make you King of the Ring, you're screwed.
That used to
mean something, and that now it's like, let's try this.
Yeah, we have nothing else for you basically, so let's make you the king. Which is what they're doing with the third new day guy, Xavier Woods. He's the king now, which points out how little it means. But no, the body shape thing and the body shaming thing, that is definitely real. That you mentioned that with Baron Corbin always having that gut, and they finally said, fine, we'll just put you in a waiter's shirt. You look like you work at Applebee's, but we don't want to see your stomach anymore. They did that with him. That reminds me of what they did with Keith Lee, which is another guy that came in and was a house of fire. And then they bring in Killer Cross, and he's a house of fire, and he goes over Keith Lee as soon as Keith Lee gets the NXT title. And now both of them are gone. They've already fired all of them. But yeah, with the body thing, if Vince doesn't like the body, you're pretty much sunk. And you know, no matter how great Keith Lee is in the ring, Vince never liked his body, and he kept putting him in different outfits. And you get pigeonholed. You get in a certain spot, and Vince McMahon can't see you any other way. And that seems to be the biggest problem. And not just Vince McMahon, but the people around him, whether it's Kevin Dunn or Bruce Prichard or whoever. If they see you one way, that's it. You can't ever be seen another way again. And that's the biggest problem they have right now.
Yeah. And when Keith Lee had his debut at AEW here this last, I think it was late summer. Oh, did he look like $1 million? That was a great match. And it's so sad that I don't know what all happened there. He disappeared. I don't know if it was an injury or what it was. And then he came back for a match or two, and then he was done.
He got really sick. I don't know if it was COVID or not, but it was something that knocked him down like really seriously. And yeah, but when he came back, now Vince McMahon has decided whatever you were doing before, I don't like it because you're too much of your belly was showing. We're going to put you in this weird looking singlet, and we're going to call you Bearcat because that's we see a big black guy. And we got to put an animal name on him because we don't know what else to do with you. Even though he is extremely articulate and intelligent, and if you just let him use his natural charisma to get over, he's doing in AEW now, you're going to have gold. But you get pigeonholed, and someone says, I don't like it, I see him as something else, and that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. He didn't come back for very long once he came back. He did a couple of matches at the Bearcat, and that was the end of that. And Killer Cross is even worse to me because he's ready-made. Like, you don't have to do a thing to him. Just let him go out there and work. And he's just natural, everything he did. So what do they do with him? They put him in a gladiator-looking outfit and call him Karrion Cross and made him look really stupid. Like, Jay, it's so sad. Sometimes you get guys that have such a great badass look as their natural look. They're just badass, but it's WWE. So they get in their heads like, we got to make him look like a cartoon character. We got to do something to make him quote-unquote special because he's not going to stand out as just a regular-looking badass guy. They had this guy, Killer Cross. You can almost tell by the name what he must look like. Looked like a killer, shaved head, great shape, 250 pounds, 6'3", just kick-ass, angry-looking eyes, big personality, just everything about him was screen star, as far as I'm concerned. And they completely buried him. First of all, they had him losing to Jeff Hardy, who is in his mid-40s and really shouldn't be going over anyone at this stage of his career. And then when they did bring him back after he was losing to Jeff Hardy, they put him they had him in this like gladiator-looking thing. And it kept adding on. Like every week it was some new accoutrement, like a helmet, and then the next week it was something across his chest, like some sort of strap or something. It just looked more and more and more stupid, and then they cut him. He's like, oh, this isn't working. We wish you luck in your future endeavors. It's like, what are you? They don't know what they're doing. They think they have to put something on them to make them sort of WWE-fied, and they really, most of the time you don't have to do that. Just let them do what they do.
At least they didn't make him like a racist stereotype.
He's a white guy. They couldn't do that. They did that with Keith Lee. Keith Lee is a big 350-pound black guy. I don't know if you've ever seen him before.
So how ghetto did they make him?
They couldn't ghettofy him too much because he's too smart. Like you can't really make him. If they had him come out, you know, do rapping and something like that, that would be really terrible. But no, they went the other way.
He's so articulate.
yeah, exactly. They went the other way. They made him like a big animal. They made him have a frowny. He's got a great smile, and they made him stop smiling. They had to put on a big frowny face, and they called him Bearcat.
They junkyard dogged him.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And then he fired him. And he said, So, yeah, it's very sad sometimes when you think about it.
I thought I caught a whiff of that with the Street Profits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at least they don't go too over the top with that. Like they are, they get that little street cred and hip hop cred when they do their promos, but it's, they talk about We Want the Smoke. But it's not too bad. It's not, they're actually putting Shad Gaspard from Crime Time into the, they're giving him the Warrior Award this weekend, Shad Gaspard, who unfortunately passed away, legitimately trying to save his son from being drowned in a riptide, and unfortunately he got caught in it.
Did he at least save the kid?
I believe he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
the kid
good.
Survived, and he did not, unfortunately. But he was part of a tag team with the original, you're the original JTG, but his partner was JTG. And they called themselves Crime Time, and that was really bad. Their theme song when they first debuted.
I remember that. I actually do remember that.
Yeah, talking about rolling a fatty and here comes Crime Time. And it's like, what are you? Okay. So... yeah, it's not that. The Street Profits are not there. Okay. They're going down that road, but they're not quite there yet, as far as being ghettofied. But it's hard. It's hard to get them to see you as anything other than what they sort of pigeonhole you and stereotype you when they first see you. So it's a lot of.
And I really liked what they did with Bobby Lashley. I mean, it's unfortunate he got injured. But up to the Royal Rumble, I mean, he had a great entrance. He had great management. He never was great on the mic, so you know. But as far as having a good mouthpiece and having a putting on a good, he was putting. I mean, he's been around a long time, but to see what happened with that was sad. And he was pretty prominent last WrestleMania, too, I believe as well.
You're right. Yeah, he's in his 40s as well, I believe, but he's in absolutely tremendous shape still. Yeah, you're right. They elevated him as like one of the top guys. Like he was the champ, the top champ there for a while. He challenged Brock Lesnar at one point, and did he go over? I think that's when Paul Heyman turned on Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And went back to Brock Lesnar briefly, which is part of the confusion with some of this booking, Jason. They actually, just in the past like couple of months, they had Paul Heyman leave Roman Reigns and go back to Brock Lesnar for about 5 minutes. And then he turned back on Brock Lesnar and went back to Roman Reigns. So I don't quite understand why they did all that. But in turning on Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman actually cost him the WWE title. And he lost it to Bobby Lashley. So they had Lashley on top for a hot second there, and then, like you said, Lashley got hurt. And then they had they had Lesnar come in and win that title, and that's what sets up this whole title versus title thing. But yeah, I like the way they use Lashley too. He's clearly someone that they like and they trust, and they haven't tried to make him something that he's not. They haven't tried to, you know, make him come in and do a hip hop concert or something stupid like that. They had him with the Hurt Business and had him as the sort of the head kingpin of that thing, and yeah, it was working out pretty good for a while there. But that's again sort of pointing out that okay, that's almost like they sort of built a new star, what they did with Lesnar the last couple of years. But he's not a new star; he's 41 years old. It's just
yeah,
they can't help themselves. It's crazy. So you mentioned Drew McIntyre and Happy Corbin. The only reason I bring that up is because it feels a little bit like, I don't know if you'll remember this, Jerry, but like 10 years ago, Randy Orton had a WrestleMania match against Kane. And this was back when, in the midst of Randy Orton, who he kind of had a little bit of a pop culture run there with the RKO thing and out of nowhere. And he was actually getting some mainstream coverage. And there's this match with Kane that's scheduled for WrestleMania, and everyone, including myself, thought this was just fait accompli, just a setup for Randy Orton to go hit the RKO, make everybody pop, and continue his ascent. And Kane actually went over clean as hell with a choke slam, if I recall correctly. And it's like, I think WWE has some moments where they look at their card and they go, this is all too predictable. We got to do some swerves, bro. We got to do some Vince Russo swerves. We got to make some, do some things that people don't see coming. We got to make some surprises. So I'm not calling for Happy Corbin to beat Drew McIntyre, but it kind of feels like that Randy Orton came at. Like, it feels like Drew McIntyre should just steamroll over Happy Corbin and embarrass him and continue his ascent. So it might set up for Happy Corbin to surprise everybody and then pull out a cheap win over him. I don't know.
Drew McIntyre, they spent 2 years during COVID to build him where they didn't have any real fans. And he had a great finisher, and he really had a good look. And then I think when things went live again is where it's like, oh.
They remembered he was Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, and that was the hard part with when they were doing the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
And it was, you could really hide. You could really tell, you got to tell the story of who was over.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I think they're still trying to do that, but you can't, they can try their best, but it's not the same.
No. No, they really are trying to engineer everything, and you can't do it. I mean, if you do that, then there's no reason to have a live crowd. Just do everything in the Thunderdome at that point. But no, they really are trying to set everything up exactly the way they think it's supposed to go. But you saw it tonight in the promo. Jay, you didn't see the promo, but Brock Lesnar opened the show, right?
Okay. Which is
doing
sort
a promo
of the opposite
in the ring.
Of what we're used to. We're used to that being at the end.
Right, I totally expected him and Roman Reigns.
And then the other guy runs out and punches
yeah.
him and then points at the – and then the last shot is of him pointing at the WrestleMania sign or the –
Yep.
Yeah.
So Brock Lesnar opens the show cutting a promo. He's supposed to be the good guy in the him versus Roman Reigns.
That's interesting.
But,
okay.
But the crowd is doing the what thing to him. Everything he says, they're going, what? And he's trying not to let it bother him, and he goes, okay, yeah, you can play along, go ahead. And then eventually he goes, all right, that's enough, because he was starting to get rattled by it. And that's the thing, when you're live, when you're in front of actual people, they're going to do what they're going to do, especially WrestleMania crowds, particularly the ones after WrestleMania. They're famous for sort of hijacking the show and chanting what they want to chant and doing what they want to do. You're going to see a lot of that when Cody comes out tomorrow, Saturday, and then you're going to see it when he comes back on Monday Night Raw. there's going to be some things said and chanted at him, because he was a very polarizing figure in AEW. So there's no sweetening you can do. There's no amount of engineering the crowd noise that's going to stop the things that are going to be said and chanted at Cody Rhodes and some of these other guys as well. But that's what happens when you go back in front of people. They don't behave exactly the way you want them to behave. So that's been interesting, to say the least. So let's see, what else do we have on this card? AJ Styles is actually favored to go over Edge, a slight favorite. The women's tag team title match, I guess Sasha Banks and Naomi are the slight favorite at minus 170, but that's a very, very slight favorite. And again, these write-ups were done last week, so it might not necessarily reflect what's going on right now. Johnny Knoxville is the favorite over Sami Zayn. Austin Theory is a slight favorite over Pat McAfee, but that one, I wouldn't be surprised if they had Pat McAfee win and sort of embarrass Austin Theory, because the angle is Austin Theory is like the pet project of Vince McMahon, and I think I don't know exactly where they're going with that, but they make him more often than not look like a goof, so that Vince McMahon has an excuse to yell at him and berate him and look like the father figure that's lording over the guy, and I think they're using that almost as a proxy so that Vince can yell at the entire roster and tell them how disappointed he is in them. And I think Austin Theory is sort of playing that role right now.
Yeah, I didn't catch much as far as it goes with him. I saw him on the show tonight. I had no idea that he was wrestling a NFL punter.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on in at WrestleMania that you would not necessarily have guessed. So yeah,
and then
what,
with the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame, they kind of went all in on Undertaker, and there's, you know, a few others. It just seems definitely more muted. I mean, it's just Undertaker, and there's some others, real minor ones this year.
That's what happens when you put everybody in the Hall of Fame. You're kind of running out of people. Like, I don't know what other, you know.
Well, it's because all the people who should be in the Hall of Fame are still wrestling.
Correct. We should be talking about Edge in the Hall of Fame. He's already in the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Coco Beware and Abdullah the Butcher is in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm just going to throw that out there. And I'm an Abdullah fan, but I'm just saying he's in the Hall of Fame in a company he never worked for.
Yeah. And Coco's my guy. I actually.
Oh, that's like the, so. It's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, don't get Jay started on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Saying,
yeah,
why not throw a country artist in there? Why not?
Yeah, we got some rappers. We got some country. You know,
rock and roll, baby.
It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So, anything else stand out about this this WrestleMania bloated two-night card?
I think we talked about every match.
Yeah, a little bit about every match. You know what we didn't talk about? The SmackDown tag team match, the tag team titles.
Oh.
The Usos defending against Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. Did you catch that act?
Yes.
And what did you think of that?
I wasn't too impressed. I'm with Jerry. The tag team stuff doesn't really, trip the trigger for me.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it. That's the thing. That when you talk about bloat,
right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches that are at least tag team matches, you know, because there's a 3-way and a 4-way out of 14. So, yeah, that's a lot of tag team stuff.
Well, I like tag teams. I just don't like when they throw two guys together and they don't have any kind of unit. They're just the last great tag team went to AEW. The what were they called? There's kind of
the revival.
Like, the revival was unbelievable, and they just never took off when they moved over, and now they're in AEW, and I don't know what they're doing now, but it's, you know, the tag team division at NXT at one time was hot. You only need three or four good tag teams, but I don't like it when they throw together two people or even get them a catchy name like RK-Bro or, you know, or what are some other really bad ones? There was Big Show with somebody it was Chris Jericho or something.
They had Kane and Brian Danielson, and they called them Team Hell No, and I don't know why they were doing that. There's a lot of those like that.
Yeah, the two that I have seen the most are New Day and the Usos. Those are the ones that you see all the time.
Right.
They'll never die.
They apparently have live jobs forever in WWE, which, you know, good for them. But yeah, it gets a little old. Yeah, the Nakamura and Books thing, just because I wanted to talk about that for one reason. Rick Books creeps me out. He makes me change the channel. I just don't know why he's getting.
Okay.
He looks icky. He looks like some bear at a gay nightclub. He looks like he's waiting to, you know, meet you outside and take you behind the 7-Eleven. And if I haven't told that story on the show, I probably shouldn't. But Shinsuke Nakamura being such a talented wrestler from Japan, and you talk about somebody that can go with anybody. And they got him teaming with this knucklehead, and like Jerry said, that's a team that just is two guys thrown together. There's no, they're not doing anything double team, tag team. There's nothing that they're doing together. They're just two guys that are out there. There's one idiot playing a guitar, and then there's Shinsuke Nakamura dancing to it, and that's why they threw them together. And I don't understand it, and I don't like it. And that's another one that I look to that I think is going to be a swerve, maybe not at this show, but at some point Nakamura's got to kick this idiot in the mouth, doesn't he? I don't like him. That's just me.
Okay.
Yeah, they can only have so many people screw each other over, but there's going to be something. Yeah. Somebody's going
to. There's like three or four that I could see happening. I'm not saying they're going to, but I did. Zelina and Carmella in the women's tag team title match, when they drop the titles, they can very easily go after each other. I don't know who exactly they're going to lose to. They might lose to Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. They might lose to Naomi and Sasha Banks, but that's another one that could be a breakup. So that's almost the big thing to watch for this weekend is not too much about the main event, but the biggest match in history, because I think it's pretty clear Roman Reigns is going to win that. But who's going to turn on who is about the only other thing to watch for, and what the reaction is going to be when Cody Rhodes comes out. And what they're going to do with Cody Rhodes, that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Well, I'll be interested to get your recap. I used to follow along with what – I have no interest in following. First of all, it's too damn long. It's two nights. And I'm not going to remember. This is one of those like, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, WrestleMania was 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we're getting set up to do our baseball preview, I'll be like, oh, yeah, hey, what happened at WrestleMania.
I wasn't really following the Oscars too much, and then Will Smith assaults Chris Rock, and it's like, okay. I think I should check out the Oscars now.
Did not find out about that till this morning, because my Twitter exploded. And
Twitter explodes.
Yeah, that was, it was all over, and it's like, what happened? And then I finally, you scroll down enough, and then you get to see it, and you're like, what the hell?
Right. It was shocking. It was very, very shocking. I think that's our WrestleMania preview for this evening. Jerry, how much AEW do you watch? Do you watch the product at all, or?
I watch it here and there when I can. I've been, I enjoy it. You know, they're bringing on so many guys, though, that, they're putting 10 pounds of sugar in a 5 pound sack financially. I mean, they can only bring it. And then the hard part is you got so many guys now that came from WWE that how do you differentiate and how do you keep things, how do you keep it? How do you give everybody good stories? And what happened to the guys that you were proud of a couple of years ago where now they're kind of getting buried?
Right. No, that's definitely the big situation there. Is there's so much talent that WWE decides to let go, and you want to pick all of them off, but you only have so many hours of programming, and it's been very interesting to see them keep bringing on new people. Almost every week, someone new is coming from WWE, whether it's Swerve Strickland or back when Bryan Danielson came over, and Keith Lee, and William Regal just showed up, Jay, a couple weeks ago.
Hey, my guy.
Your guy. I know. You love you some William Regal.
Well, and they just bought Ring of Honor, so I don't know how that's going to look.
Hey, more blue.
Ring of Honor doesn't really have much of a TV presence, and I don't know what they thought they were trying to do. I think they just wanted to buy their catalog of their of all their history before WWE got it.
Right. But Tony Khan has said he's going to start running Ring of Honor separately as well and revive their actual programming and their cards and whatnot. So and book it as well alongside AEW. He's putting himself on the road to burnout if he does that, but that's what he intends to do. So we'll see how all that works out. But yeah, you're going to have more guys coming over because you're going to have some Ring of Honor people come over to AEW and have some run-ins with them. And we know that because the Ring of Honor show that they're putting on this weekend is going to have some AEW people on it. So they're already intermingling. So there's a lot of mixing going on with anyone that's not in WWE. But basically, there's a lot, that open door policy they talk about, the forbidden door, and it's very exciting. But yeah, I'm very afraid that there's going to be a burnout, not just with the people running it, not just with Tony Khan, but with the fans as well. Like the fans are, I feel like they're waiting for all of this to amount to something big. Like you have the talent to potentially put together, CM Punk versus Bryan Danielson 1 month for the title, in a 40-minute classic, and then come back the next month with Punk versus Jon Moxley. And none of that is happening right now because they're so busy setting everything up. They're setting up this war between William Regal's sort of faction of Danielson and Moxley. And they're about to start feuding with like Chris Jericho's faction of sports entertainers, but it that takes a while to build. But I'm a little worried. I hope they don't take too long to build all that up because I feel like the fans are sort of waiting for all this to explode and amount to something. But it is taking time. It's going to take some time. But hopefully they get it all together in due time. But, yeah, I watch that product. I watch AEW religiously, faithfully every week because it's so good and it's so much better than WWE. I don't catch Raw and SmackDown every week. I do catch it every now and then, but I definitely don't make a point to watch it. But Wednesday nights on TBS is AEW, and I definitely make sure I watch that every week. It's so much better than this stuff that we saw tonight. This was just garbage. I'm sorry, it just was.
No, it was not good. You texted me at one point. hang on. You texted me, and you said, keeping up with all the excitement, and I think, here's my response, it's so bad. That's my...
They're not using that as a tagline.
It's not going to look good on the poster.
WrestleMania 38, it's so bad. They're also not using my tagline, stupendously old, because that's what I see when I see all the people up there. Man.
Once you get power, it's hard to let go. It really is.
I understand, but it's not fun to watch. It's not entertaining at all. But That's our WrestleMania preview, Saturday and Sunday. The stupendous, great. That's another way that you know that it's crap. You don't have to label it the greatest match in WrestleMania history if it was actually the greatest match in WrestleMania history, because everybody would already know that. So, well,
right,
the first time
hyped.
I heard.
You don't have to hype something if it's really good.
Exactly. The first time they threw that out was like 3-4 weeks ago. I heard one announcer say it, and I said, what are you talking about? Then I heard the next announcer say it, and I said, oh, God, this is what they're actually labeling it. And then I saw the graphic, the greatest match in WrestleMania, and I'm like, oh, come on. What the hell? This isn't even going to be one of the 30 best matches in WrestleMania history. What are you talking about? So, yeah. So that's WrestleMania 38. Jerry, I'm going to let you go. I've held you long enough. I really appreciate you once again coming on. I owe you a drink or a dinner or sometime the next time that we see each other, whenever that may be. I don't know when I'm getting up to Wisconsin. You went to Chicago with your family this past year. So maybe there'll be a situation where you go back and I'm able to be up there and we can get together or something and chop it up and talk some stuff and hopefully – things will be better in the wrestling world at that point. We have more to talk about.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, Jerry. That is Jerry, the wrestling expert, once again with our WrestleMania preview. But yeah, like you say, Jay, we could say it every year. Who are these guys? The same guys, same game plans, same scripts, same
just reshuffled the decks. Put names in a hat, pull them out.
Well, same guys. Here they go again. Yeah. Hasn't changed, unfortunately.
I did see some people that I hadn't seen before, but none of them were Impact.
Right. They're not positioned to be like the next stars. They're just kind of
right.
There.
Yeah. They're filler.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we could just tape record this show and just, play it every year now.
It's unfortunate the way it is. I love wrestling so much. I want it to be so much better. It is getting much better with AEW, but I already expressed my concerns there that there's actually too many great talents going over there, and they're already starting to get lost in the shuffle a little bit. Like Jerry was saying, there's some guys that you saw a couple years ago in AEW, you say, oh, they have a lot of potential. They might be really, really good, but they're all getting shoved back now because there's so many guys from WWE getting released that they're now bringing in and putting them up top because they're the stars. They're the names that people know. But
right.
Then your other guys, your younger guys that you were sort of training up are starting to get pushed down a little bit, and that's unfortunate. That's the politics of it all. Again, everywhere you go, there's going to be some politics.
That's more wrestling talk than I can take. That's why we just do this once a year.
I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to cover right now. There's been
so much going on. Trust me, I am doing my darndest just to stay awake right now.
I understand.
It's a late show.
It is. It's earlier than it usually is. Usually we're just getting started.
Golf. Yeah, we'd start at 10:30 and go until 1 o'clock in the morning. No, we're also getting old.
Getting old.
And we just did a show 2 days ago.
Stupendously old.
Yeah, stupendously old. Although we're young compared to these wrestlers.
Oh,
and I know how, that's why it just shows you what good shape these guys are in. Because my God, I'm beat all the time.
No, amen to that. No, that's a great point. These guys that are 40, 45 years old,
yeah,
and their bodies
we're
look like they're 25.
Really? Yeah, we're 46. And, there's no chance.
We don't look
hell.
Like that.
No. No, even one fake hit and I'm done. So.
The Will Smith slap is enough to put you out.
Ooh. Yeah, that was something.
That was a thing. I'll ask you about one sports thing, and I'll let you go. And I'm the only thing I'm going to do is is because it's your Falcons and Matty Ice going to the Colts.
You know, the writing was on the wall with him. I mean, there were rumors that they were going to draft Justin Fields last year. There were people who were really – they really wanted them to take Fields instead of taking – you know, I was more on board with them taking Pitts. But every last year really felt like Matt Ryan sort of like the last rodeo. They weren't going to do – they're not going anywhere this year. You know, it's – you know, Calvin Ridley is a head case now, so he's not around. They got rid of Julio
Jones.
Also
suspended.
Right. You know, but no, but he kind of flaked out. So,
yeah.
I mean, they draft, but they trade for or they sign Marcus Mariota. They're, you know, he's got a history with – at least he's got a history of getting benched by Arthur Smith.
Well, they know each other.
They do. I'm fine. You know, I've really got that sense. They draft – they have a lot of – I think they have a lot of draft picks. It's a very quarterback-unfriendly draft. You know this because you have not heard about, like, the out-of-nowhere guy who's just suddenly going to have to go be, like, the top quarterback pick, and then the other out-of-nowhere guy who's going to be the number two. We're going to end up with another Goff-Wentz situation. See how that turned out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm okay with Matt Ryan going to Indy. He makes them better. You know, I think he's still got a little bit left in the tank. I think he definitely makes Indy more relevant than Carson Wentz.
certainly.
Indy fans now get to watch Matt Ryan turtle on every critical third down. So have fun with that.
But I couldn't help but laugh at every time someone asks Frank Reich about Wentz, who goes to the what's their name? The Guardians? No, the Commanders. And he says, yeah, I love him, and I think he's going to have a lot of success. And I'm like, but you got rid of him.
He was just talking about, you know, what a great guy he is.
Okay, but
he's not going to help them win.
Yeah, please don't talk about how much success you think he's definitely going to have, because you got rid of him. You had him for one year, and you said, I've had enough of that. So please don't tell me how much you think he's going to actually be a good player.
It's been a crazy – I'm sure we'll be able to talk about this a lot more. We really do kind of detox from football, but we go pretty heavy around draft time. But, yeah, all these
moves, these trades, all these teams
losing their shit for wide receivers. I don't get it.
Devontae Adams is gone.
The amazing thing is these top-tier quarterbacks, you know, and I would put – you could say Mahomes is in that group now, but, you know, when it was Brady, Manning, Favre, Rodgers, you know, all these guys made stars out of these wide receivers. And when these wide receivers would leave town, it was witness protection. And you never heard from them again. And that's generally what happens to those guys. So I was not one of the people on the, oh my God, the Packers trading Devontae Adams is the worst move in history. Because Rodgers he's a star maker. He'll find somebody else.
The thing about that, though, is he's had years to find someone to compliment Devontae Adams and hasn't seemed to be able to do it. Like, he doesn't like throwing to anyone but Devontae Adams.
But now he'll be forced to. And maybe that's what he needed. The crutch is gone.
Okay, I'm take everything I say about the Packers with a grain of salt because I'm a big Bears fan. But I'm going to go right now on the limb and say they're not winning anywhere near 13 games again next year. They got rid of the only fucker that he likes to throw to. They're winning 9 games next year. I'm sorry. He doesn't have anyone on that team he likes to throw to.
I
know they're going to draft somebody, but
I don't want to burst your bubble. They still win the division if they win 9 games next year.
Perhaps. Very, very possible. Perhaps. But they are not... I cannot imagine them having success.
And here's what I'll tell you was important about, yes, they obviously broke the bank for Rodgers, and all the whining and all the petulance, it paid off. Good for him. He got his bag, right? He's one of the best. He should be paid like one of the best. That's fine. But trading Adams, though, and then all this restructuring with these other guys that they did actually allowed them to re-sign all these defensive guys, where if they had signed Adams, they're all gone. So Devondre Campbell's gone. They don't re-sign Rasul Douglas. It's the other side of the ball. It's that defensive side of the 10 unit. So, yeah, you could have Rodgers and Adams, and if you have the 26th best defense in the league, it won't matter.
I hear you. I understand that. I think I would take my chance. If I'm the GM, I'm taking my chances in replenishing the defense before I get rid of the only fucking receiver that this petulant diva likes to force it.
His number one receiver next year might be Aaron Jones.
100 catches for the running back is not the way
Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are going to probably catch 140 balls next year.
That's not a successful team. I'm sorry. It's just not. Throwing to the flat all the time.
Right now it's Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, and Amari Rodgers. That's the group.
Plus Bob Tonyan.
They got him back as tight end. That's the group as it stands right now. We don't know what happens come draft time. We don't know if
some rookie receivers.
They could try throwing some money at Jarvis Landry or Julio Jones. They've got the money to do it now. They restructured enough things that they could sign one of these guys. But you sign Julio Jones, that's buyer beware, because you're only going to get 4.5 games out of him.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Will Fuller. I mean, you're going to get a 75-yard touchdown, but then he's going to be out for the season.
6 weeks on the IR.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed that touchdown.
Yeah. All those names plus somebody else is not equal 13 wins. It equals 9
wins. See,
he
woke me up.
You
started talking about football. Damn you.
Sorry. I only meant to bring up Matty Ice because he's a former Falcon now. But
I wish him well. They clearly weren't going to go anywhere with him, and they didn't get much for him. I think they got a third. But whatever. It's clearly a rebuilding team. They're still the third best team, maybe the worst team in that division, depending on how the Panthers shake out. The Saints lost out on all the quarterback stuff, so they just decided to bite the bullet and re-up Jameis Winston, which I think was the right move.
Yep.
They just have to trust him.
Have any
now.
Problem with that?
They have to trust him.
They're not pitting him against fucking Taysom Tebow for the starting job. So
which he won, legitimately won last year. And then he had that amazing first game against the Packers. And then it was like they buried him. They were afraid. Yes, he's going to throw some interceptions. Pat Mahomes
up and down.
Shitload of interceptions last year, right?
Right.
Now, obviously, none of those were his fault.
So did the world champion Matthew Stafford.
Correct.
He led the league in picks.
Yes. The Sean Payton just needs to develop some trust.
Sean Payton's not a factor, so we won't have Taysom Tebow to worry about. So
that's right. He's gone now. So
yep.
I forgot that. See, I'm not in football mode yet.
There's a lot. There's a lot that's happened this offseason.
It's been crazy. It's been crazy. We'll have to devote – once we get through baseball, because, we're down in Chicago now, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And I will be there Sunday. That is confirmed.
Okay.
So I'll be down there both nights. So
cool.
My work schedule now, I'm off every Sunday. I was able to, trust me, it's been 13 years. I've been waiting for this.
Welcome to the club of being home on Sunday, like men are supposed to.
Well, I'll be home almost every Sunday. I'll still have to do the big ones, Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend and Black Friday. But my general work schedule now is I'm going to be off Sundays and Tuesdays.
Okay.
So that makes, obviously it's the big benefit is I get a actual full day home with my family every week, which I have not had since my kids were born. regular, at least a regular one, where I don't have to burn a day of vacation to get a day home with the whole family.
Right.
So that starts this Sunday coming up. So then, you know, I already had Friday and Saturday for Chicago as vacation. Well, now I'm off Sunday just because I'm off on Sunday. So
okay,
I will be good down there. So, yeah, so actually after the draft, we can all go out.
Yeah. That's great. I'm very glad to hear that.
I'm not going to be done with the draft and then I'm, okay, bye.
Right. I was thinking about that evening in the hotel by myself, like, this is going to be really lonely.
Yeah. And I'm trying to find a hotel convenient to the train. I'm looking out in like Rosemont, you know, those areas. Cause there's a train line right there at that River Road exit. And, I mean, it makes it a haul, but at least there's a train right there.
Yeah, I'll have to get out of there early Sunday morning, but, you know.
Yeah, because you said, what time are you out of there on Sunday?
Oh, that flight leaves at like 8, so I got to be at the airport like friggin' 6:30 and, you know.
I mean, you're my best friend, but, man.
You're not getting up at 5 in the morning just to shuttle me to the airport.
I don't know. I don't know.
I get it.
I mean, it's 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. It's not going to take very long to get down there. That's a haul.
Still, yeah.
That's a haul. That's the best flight you could find out of there?
Yeah, there's only two nonstop flights on Sunday back to Memphis,
okay.
And the second one is at 9 at night.
Oh, shit.
Yes. That's why I had to take the 8 in the morning.
Yeah, well, especially, not knowing... Yeah, not knowing the situation because you're figuring I'm out of there. So,
right, I'm not walking around downtown all day Sunday with a suitcase. That's not going to happen.
What? You're just not going to wear a sign on your back that says "Mug Me"?
Tourist.
Yeah.
Everyone, look at the tourist.
I don't
belong
here.
Right. That is not going to happen.
Okay. So yeah, now that I know that for sure, I just found that all out yesterday. So that's all good for me. So then I'll get the rooms all booked up. I'm either going to just do like two of them or I'm just going to find a suite or something, you know?
Okay. Sounds good.
So I'll figure it out. It's all on me. Well, it's all on Blog Talk Radio. I got to be whole.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get all that squared away.
Hey, we should be thankful. Let's not ruin this, knock on some wood, but the quality of the show's audio has been decent lately.
You know what? If I do what I'm supposed to do on my end and get the show started, you know, at least 10 minutes before airtime and get everybody, you know, clicked in time.
Not 45 seconds before the show.
Right, right.
I've been trying to log in about three minutes before because I find that when I log into the show right at the wire, we have trouble.
That's when we have problems. Yeah, it seems to be. Both of you and Jerry are waiting for me with like 1 minute to go because I was getting my drink and getting ready.
See, I did all that during those tag team matches.
Yeah, I was starting to, but I guess I got the minutes got away from me a little bit.
That's all right. Sorry, time got away from you. It's all good.
But it all worked out.
So we'll do this again next week. I'm thinking Tuesday night.
That's fine by me.
Baseball. Well, now I work on Wednesdays now, so Wednesday night actually doesn't work. Even though my Wednesdays I get home earlier on Wednesday, Tuesday I'm home all day, so that gives me, even though I say I'm going to do all my research, I'm still going to do all my stuff in 45 minutes before the show. But, you know, hey, it worked for my NCAAs.
I got nothing to say about your March Madness picks because you kicked my ass again for the second year in a row. I got, you know, nothing
and
I can possibly
during the
say
show,
about
it's funny
that.
Because is it Duke UNC?
It is.
And you remember?
You were begging for that.
I was. I said, oh, I want this to happen, but I just couldn't pull the trigger on it. And I mean, so we could pull the tape. I believe I called it without actually calling it.
there's no doubt that you were begging for Duke and UNC to meet up, and you're like, that's way too improbable because NC is an 8 seed and got so much to go through, and but man, if that were to happen, that would be awesome. No, you kick my ass anyway without doing that, but you did kind of unofficially have that as well, and that's exactly what's going to happen on Saturday, which is crazy.
And because because I have Sling TV, you officially get to watch ESPN.
Oh, damn it.
Draft coverage this year because I have the Sling package with NFL Network. So enjoy Mel Kiper Jr.
I hope Berman doesn't show up. That would be just the ultimate. I think Greeny is doing it now, which is bad. I think Greeny's doing it, which is bad enough.
I want Mayock to show up on NFL Network. I want Cranky Mike Mayock.
He might.
He needs work.
He's open. He's
available.
He's got time now. So you never know.
All right. I'm done. You got 20 more minutes out of me, and I was ready to go.
We're both done. We're in the after show. I got no outro music, and
it's
definitely
Tuesday.
Yeah, it is officially Tuesday here. Get all the football talk out of your mind, because next show is baseball next Tuesday
night.
Baseball.
How about that?
Talking baseball. How about that? 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern. That will be two hot live hours previewing baseball. All divisions, our division champions, our World Series champions, all that good stuff. MVPs, do we usually look at MVPs? Or we just kind of...
No. I've never gone there. I'm not saying that it hasn't. It sometimes just kind of organically comes up in the discussion, but it's not anything that's official that we do that.
Right. So we'll have some.
We'll try. Let's try to not have the exact same division winners, wild cards, you know.
That's the fucked up part, is we try not to, and then we wind up having the same ones because we're trying to swerve each other.
One of us thinks that we've got, like, we're the smartest guy in the room, and we're going to show the other guy, and then you have the exact same thing.
Here's my big surprise pick, the Seattle Mariners. That's my surprise pick. Oh.
I'm done picking them as my surprise team. Never again.
And you know what that means? They're winning 100 games this year.
Fuck.
All right. That is next Tuesday, 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, our big baseball preview. Everybody enjoy WrestleMania this weekend, the big bloated two-day extravaganza, stupendously old. So we'll see how that works out. All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been the WrestleMania preview version of Kings of Non Sequitur, which is the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast. And if you can keep up with all that, then congratulations. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next Tuesday night.